Listeners, I got you a deal at Rivertime Brewery in Darrington, Washington. That's right. Tell them Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you, and you get $1 off your first pint. If you're up there hiking or just driving through town, stop in and tell them Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. They just won the bronze medal at the Washington Beer Awards for their Scottish beer. So after a hike, enjoy a pint. And their slogan says, beer at an appropriate pace. Rivertime Brewery is located in downtown Darrington, Washington, in the old City Hall building there. Can't miss it. So next time you're in there, remember, don't forget to tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you and get that $1 off the first pint. Of course, you got to be over 21.
This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos. Never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? You sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. All right, next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Bert Dodson. I'm from the state of Washington here, mainly the San Juan Islands. And I go by the trail name of Detour, which was just recently given to me.
That's cool. I imagine that probably has something to do with what we're talking about here.
That does quite a bit.
Yeah, so I've seen you on the Pacific Crest Trail Facebook groups. Explain your role in how you're helping out hikers.
What I'm doing is providing transportation. And as what happened last year was, is how I got my name was, is there was a 100-mile detour, largest in the Pacific Crest Trail history. And anyhow, I'd go up to the Swaddle River, bring them in my pickup here in the Darrington. I'd find them a place to stay, such as the RV park here in town. And also they'd get them to some free Wi-Fi at the library, guide them where the general store is, stuff like that, help them out and get them back up on the trail up on Hart's Pass. And this year I've been doing the same, pretty much basically the same thing, except for just picking them up down in Arlington, Washington, or in Mount Vernon, Washington, and taking them up the State Route 20 up to Hart's Pass up there, up around Mazama, and dropping them off and wishing them good luck.
And then, so these are the hikers that are starting their southbound from the northern terminus, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So when they get started, that's the closest you can drive to in the U.S. is Hart's Pass there?
Yes, it is.
Well, cool. And how long does that trip take you?
It takes me about 4 hours to get the hikers up there, up to Hart's Pass. There's actually two passes on the State Route 20 on the highway itself. One around 4,500, and the other mountain pass on the highway is at about 5,500 feet. And then descend down into Mazama. Then we cross the river, the Methow, and then head back west up the Lost River Road up to Hart's Pass up there. It's a pretty rugged road. It's not advisable to be taking the newer vehicle up there every single day because you're going to need a mechanic after about a month of that stuff.
Oh, wow. And what are you driving?
I'm driving an older Ford pickup truck, F-150 half ton with a canopy on it.
Yeah. And does that seem to hold up on the road pretty well then?
Yeah. A pickup truck seems to hold up pretty well on it. Four-wheel drives also are pretty stout for that type of road. It seems to do fairly well, but you got to expect wear and tear on something that rough up there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I plan on going up there myself. I've got an all-wheel drive type vehicle, but not a four-wheel drive. Is that going to be okay, you think?
Yeah, it'll be okay. Your basic highway tires. Be careful of the sharp rocks going through the where they blasted they blasted the road literally out of a cliff face.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't do any type of pit run or anything else to surface to put down on top of that blasted rock. So it's real. It's kind of fine, maybe like 1 inch rock, but very, very sharp, very pointy, and it has a tendency to razor up your tires.
Okay, and is that different from last year when you were going up there with hikers?
No, it's the same actually. No different.
Oh, okay, because I know it was closed down for a little while because of a slide, so I wasn't sure if that was it.
Yeah, that's in the Dead Horse Peak is where the rock slide happened this last winter, and there was some pretty good sized rocks across it. It happens every year. That road is just prone to that because of that geological feature right there.
Yeah. Well, tell us about some of the folks you dropped up off there. Is there any interesting stories?
Well, I meet people from all around the world doing this, and people I've met are just they're I can't really say I've met some that were smart as a bag of hammers. These people are actually very highly intelligent. They're very unique in their own way. Conversations that we have are just terrific. They're awesome. They really really broaden your mind. Coming from all corners of the world. One from Australia, one from Glasgow, Scotland, two from Finland, two from Germany, one from Canada, and then three from Arizona. There's many more. In last year it was one, a couple from Israel. In Australia, a pair from Australia again, down in Queensland, and it's so diverse. The people that you meet up on the trail up there is just it's just awesome. It is really, really neat, and you end up making lifetime friends.
Oh, sure. Well, and it must be really interesting having helped out last year in the same area, seeing the difference between the excitement of getting done with the hike and then this year, the excitement of people starting their hike, right?
Yeah. The one starting the hike this year expected similar conditions as last year, which we were in a severe drought, and some of them went up there very ill prepared, ended up injured, and had to come back down and regroup, heal up, and then think about getting back up there again. Whereas last year, there was no snowpack virtually whatsoever, so things could start at any time. And the difference between the northbound and the southbound hikers is start time, and they have to be aware of the season of the seasons of the winter conditions that happen in the areas before they actually head out. So some people kind of jumped the gun this year.
Yeah. Well, I know typically they try to start somewhere around the 4th of July on a normal year. Is that right?
Up here, actually, the 4th of July at that elevation, if you're heading north to do the touchback up to the monument and then back to Hart's Pass, you're getting around 7,000 feet. And nor in a normal season, normal snowpack, it's still a bit early, unless you have mountaineering skills. If you have mountaineering skills, you'll make it through there fine. A lot of these people that are taking off on the trail don't have those mountaineering skills, and sometimes they take off a little bit bigger bite than they chew. But they're not going to learn any other way but to actually get out there and try. They have to experience it for themselves, and then put that under their belt and carry on. But and then the northbounders, they start out at Campo down there at roughly around the later part of April, And then by the time they hit the South Kennedy Meadows, the Sierras have pretty much freed up and are ready to hike.
Of course, that puts them up here in Washington, past the wildflowers, and sometimes they get caught by snow up here, even the new snow of the winter, right?
Yeah, you're not kidding there. By the time they get up here, they're into mid to late September, and around the first week of October is when we start getting our snow up here in the Cascades, in the North Cascades. And by the time that they reach Hart's Pass, they're pretty cold and they're pretty wet, and they're pretty determined to try and get done and get up into Manning Park.
Hey, something really easy to do. If you shop at REI, you can click right through my site. It gives a little kickback to me and helps the show out. Gets the show a little credit there. You get all the same prices that REI offers, but I get a little kickback. So thanks a lot. We also do the Amazon. If you shop at Amazon and you want to click through the website, same thing. You get all the same deals. Click through. Just go to the show notes. Check that out. Hey, thanks a lot for supporting the show. So do you plan on helping hikers on the northbound trip this year again?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm not only here for the southbound hikers. I'm here for the northbound hikers as well.
That's great.
That's just part of being a trail angel.
Sure. How many years have you been helping out? Was last year your first dive into helping out, or have you been doing it longer than that?
I met a girl online on a dating site, and she was a section hiker. And this was back in 2010, and she perked my interest. I had read material on the internet about the PCT and doing the hike and being retired. I thought, yeah, why not? But you know, I have this 21-year-old in my head that tells me I'm still 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually 55, and pretty busted up from my hard life. But you know, I over those years of being with her, I got to actually, but all we talked about was the Pacific Crest Trail, and we talked about how wonderful the trail angels were. And she said, "Well, you know, since you have a bad back and stuff like that, you know, why don't you become a trail angel?" So I would go on out, and you know, her and I would go and do a little trail magic along, maybe like Chinook Pass or White Pass down there near Packwood. In the Rim Rock Goat Rocks area, and then her and I would do some more hiking and talk more about being a trail angel. And the more my back deteriorated on me, and then later I had lower back surgery in 2014. I kept thinking about it over and over. I went on a hike here last year. I wanted to go into up and over Seattle Pass and drop down into Lucerne to Lake Chelan, take the ferry to Stehekin, and all of a sudden the whole state of Washington caught on fire.
Right there too, yeah.
yeah, right there, you know, I mean, right at Seattle Pass, and then all of a sudden here came this big shutdown of the trail. And I thought to myself, and I thought to myself about the things that her and I talked about, and you know, I thought about it, and I said, you know, I thought that I'm not the only one having a bad time out here. It's about time I help somebody else out instead of, you know, why sit on my own pity pot and sit there and be all bent out of shape. I'm going to help these guys that are coming up. They're coming up here. I'm going to help them, you know, achieve their dream, achieve their goal. And so that's where I seriously got into trail angel work was last year. And, I haven't regretted a minute of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's why I'm heading up to Hart's Pass. I'm a section hiker myself, and man, it's pretty cool that you're doing that up there. That is a long drive, even Suyata Pass. Suyata River Road. You know, a lot of everyday hikers don't like driving that. So,
oh, that road. Yeah, the road, the access road, the detour that we had last year. It was the only viable option. Actually, there was two. But the Swaddle River Road was more of a more well-traveled road. And, you know, it's not too bad, but, you know, it gives you that exit point and they some refused to ride last year. They wanted to actually walk that 100-mile detour.
Wow.
You know, they're that dedicated to that PCT hike. It's a long haul for me. And, you know, once I would go, I put in 24-hour days sometimes. I wouldn't get home till like 4:30 in the morning. And I would put in like two or three trips to Hart's Pass from here, from Darrington. I would go up there to Hart's Pass and, you know, drop off the hikers, come back. I'd go back up the Swaddle River Road and there'd be more waiting for me. I'd pick them up and then and they'd help me out with the fuel. They'd gas us up and we'd head back up to Hart's Pass again. And it just kept going round and round and round like that.
That's cool. Yeah. I dropped my car off. My wife and my kids helped me drop the car off. We have some really young kids and we dropped my car off at Suyatl, River Trail there at the trailhead. And I came in from the North Fork Sauk and did that section last year. And when we were dropping my car off, I felt so bad because there's this guy coming off the trail and I knew about the detour. And it was just absolutely pouring down rain and there was nothing I could do to help him. We had every single seat was taken and I stopped and talked to him for a minute. And I just said, man, I feel so bad. So it's good that people like you are out there to help him out.
You know, I try to be there for him, you know, I try as much as I can.
I was really surprised when we came out, there was nobody there. I think a lot of people stopped. I guess at one point they kind of shut it all down, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It first started out with the town of Holden, east of Cloudy Pass, just off of the PCT there. Then the fire broke out just up above the PCT, west of the PCT, up there around Plummer and just above Wagner's Creek, and it creeped its way down on into the area of the trail. And then it also started again over on the east side of the trail. So when it began over onto the east side of the trail, that's when they put the brakes and they shut the trail, that section of trail down all the way into Stehekin. And that was the beginning right there of the 100-mile detour.
Wow.
And then after that, there was one that happened up at Hart's Pass, just before you get to Hart's Pass, between Rainy Pass and Hart's Pass, about a half a mile south. And as that fire was happening, I dropped off hikers up there, and I got pictures of the Sikorsky that was heavy lift, that was with a snorkel on it, that was dumping water onto the fire. And so I dropped them off. Then a few days later, then another one happened north of Hart's Pass. And I couldn't drop any more hikers off up there. And everybody was trying to figure out a way of trying to get around that fire. So they were all rerouting everybody up east of the PCT up Robinson Creek Trail.
Isn't that really overgrown?
Yeah, it's kind of overgrown, yeah. You know, in places, but it's still a doable trail. Another trail angel, name of Ravensong, who lives in Mazamo, has been suggesting that trail this year. But most people have found out that it's just, you know, like you said, it's overgrown in places. And a lot of hikers just don't want to deal with that. They want to get on the PCT right away.
Yeah.
But the best route is always up the Hart's Pass Road, up to the guard shack up there. But anyhow, so then the fire after that was further south of White Pass, just by Glacier Peak. And there's one also there near Red Pass. And the Forest Service did a full shutdown, which I've never seen in my lifetime up here. A full shutdown of the Wenatchee and the Baker Snoqualmie. And they did not allow any hikers in, period. After that point, Jack Haskell, the PCTA, talked with the U.S. Forest Service and out of the region up here. And the U.S. Forest Service, you know, said, sure, we'll do this. And they only opened up the PCT to PCT hikers only. It was incredible. Let them at least go as far as they could up to Swaddle Pass, but then they still had to do the detour. So they did a phenomenal, a very unheard of thing U.S. Forest Service did last year, and they really went to bat for the PCT hikers. And so did Jack Haskell, did a really great job too.
Get that going, yeah. So what about your vehicle? You know, you had the didn't you have some issues with it? You were maybe not going to be able to help out so many hikers this year.
Well, what had happened was the clutch and the transmission was failing. I'm on a limited income. I'm retired. I'm on a budget. You know, things change when you go from a really well-paying job of several digit income and you know, your income change, your lifestyle changes. So I live from month to month, you know, and it's hard to afford some of these things. So I was looking at not being able to get the clutch kit for the truck until 1st of August. And I let the other people know on the Sobo site that that's what was going on. Well, they wouldn't have any of that. And they really surprised me. You know, here we go with some more trail magic, right? Andrea Dinsmore says, well, you know, do you have a PayPal account? And I said, yeah. And she says, well, what's the email address to it? I said, why? She says, just you never mind. You know, Andrea Dinsmore is the mother of all the trail angels up here, pretty much. And she's a really wonderful person. Anyhow, her and a bunch of other people, and trail angels got together and put $300 into my PayPal account. And she says, she messaged me back on Facebook and she says, take a look in your PayPal account. And I was just shocked. I'm used to doing things on my own, out of my own pocket, and then not taking charity. And so it was very, very humbling. And, you know, it's another thing that shows you that it's those acts of kindness and expecting nothing in return. And what they've done for me is being forwarded to the hikers.
For sure.
It's all a pay it forward thing in helping these hikers. And the hikers, whether they realize it or not, when they give me donations, it goes back into that vehicle and they're paying it forward to the next hiker. So the truck is being repaired. And over the next 2 days here, in fact, I won't be back up and running until this coming Saturday, the 16th. So I've got some maintenance ahead of me, but, you know, I'm really anxious to get back on the road and helping these guys out and get these hikers on the trail or off the trail or wherever they need to go.
For sure. Oh, that's amazing. It's cool how the community just kind of gets together like that. I think a lot of people would probably see some hikers on the side of the road. And they might think, oh man, who would ever help those people out, when really they're the ones that are helping each other out and probably the nicest people you'd ever meet.
They are, you know, they really are. You know, there's a big difference between the hikers and society. And I don't know if you've seen that, but
yeah.
They're very grounded, very down to earth people. You know, the majority of them are. Of course, you get your wild ones in there occasionally, but you know, who wasn't wild at that age, right? You know,
yeah.
But you know, I got to remember where I came from too. But you know, yeah, you know, the PCT, the hikers, the trail angels. It's an amazing team. The world can take it. Should take a good look at that and use it as an example.
That's cool. What about the Pacific Northwest Trail? Do you ever have any people wanting to help from there? Because I know it runs right through Skagit County and North Cascades and stuff.
Yeah, it does. Last year, I only had one hiker that requested some help. She started out and she lived in Glacier up there. Can't remember her name, but she had a dog with her. She's a very very nice person. I met her. She had made it all the way down from up there and hitched a ride all the way on down to Rockport there on Highway 20, and gave me a call. She stayed at the Rockport State Park, right, or the Steelhead Landing Park, right there.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so anyhow, I got a call and went and picked her up. And yes, I do help the Pacific Northwest Trail Hikers as well. You know, that's what a trail angel does.
Yeah.
I do as much as I can. See, what she did, she went, she hiked the Pacific Northwest Trail all the way on over. Then she wanted to get onto the PCT. So, because she had relatives or has relatives in, I believe it was in Eugene, Oregon is where she was going. And, she was going to hike the PCT all the way there to meet them and to be with them and her dog. And so I thought that was pretty epic, you know.
That's cool.
But to go and see mom and dad way the heck down there in Eugene, Oregon by trail. It was quite a journey for her.
That's
but,
neat.
I haven't had anybody else. I haven't had any other requests from the PNT hikers yet, as of yet, you know, since then. But I do. But I will extend my help out towards them. No problem at all.
That's great. Well, you mentioned Raven Song and Andrea Dinsmore, who I've actually met a few times. She's really nice. Who else is helping out in Washington, Trail Angel wise?
As far as from what I know, it would be anybody from Highway 2, Stevens Pass Highway northward would be Andrea Dinsmore, Raven Song at Raven Song's Roost in Mazama. Then myself, then Edward Entman, who goes by the trail name of Meander.
Yeah.
He's also another one. We've got another person now, Marvin Van Horn, who's just starting out getting into trail angel work this year. He's just falling behind me, picking up the slack as much as he can. He's retired also. So he's new to it. We've had another one. He's sort of a recluse. He just pops in and out. I can't even remember his name because he only shows his face up once in a while. So, you know, there's not very many of us, but you know, when the call goes out, usually there's several people around monitoring the Trail Angel page. We have another one too, name of, he's part-time Trail Angel. He lives in Winthrop over there, in Okanagan County. His name is David Gatua. He's also on the PCT Sobo site.
Nice.
So, but that's pretty much all I know of right at the moment.
Yeah, and I know Teresa Sky used to help out a lot over in Winthrop also, but I don't know if she's able to do that anymore.
Yeah. I remember her from last year. Thanks for mentioning her name. I forgot about her.
Yeah, I've met her also. She's real cool. Yeah, she spends her time down in Arizona, I think, and then I'm not sure. She got smoked out last year with all those fires, so.
Oh, a lot of people did over there, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and then of course, you know, you've got your like what you were doing at White Pass, you know, there's a lot of people just sitting there wanting to feed the hikers or help them out in the moment type thing too. So that, you know, obviously their names aren't all out there, but I met quite a few of them, I do some trail work with the PCTA.
Uh-huh.
And, there's quite a few of those guys that like to get out there and maybe barbecue for them or do something like that. So that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, I don't know many. I don't know of many. There's Randy Nelson who lives in Packwood, and she tries to do trail angel work down there at White Pass. She tries to get involved in that. She's an elderly lady, and she lets hikers stay at her place too. So just for information, you know, general information for the area of Washington south of us here. So
that's cool. Yeah. So what about your hiking past? What I mean, you talked a little bit about. Maybe doing some sections or small stretches in the past, but what have you done and what do you want to do or what are you going to do?
Well, I started out in the U.S. Forest Service in 1982 as a volunteer. I got paid per diem wages of $18 a day on the Colville National Forest.
Wow!
I got my foot in the door with the landline department where we did the cadastral boundary surveys, and we never really had a trail to ever hike. We were on the cut line on, you know, cutting brush right straight up in cardinal directions. If there was a cliff, we were going up that sucker.
Wow.
If there was one there, we would go down it. If there was a lake, we would go around it and all kinds of stuff like that. So, I got my actual other experience on the Baker Snoqualmie National Forest in 1984, beginning there. And, you know, we did all the boundaries for the public lands for the out of the Cedar Woolley office. We did it for the Wenatchee, the Okanagan, and the Baker Snoqualmie out of one office. We took care of three national forests. And so I got a lot of travel time, a lot of per diem, saw a lot of country.
Yeah.
And over that decade that I served with the U.S. Forest Service. And I never got to, you know, you're out there and you never really get to enjoy what you're looking in the enjoy your surroundings because you're into getting your job done. And you're out there for miles and miles and miles, sometimes camped out on the line. And we always wished we had a trail. You know, but I ended up retiring in 2008, and it just hit me. It's like, why don't I go out and I see all these trails? And then in 2010, I got an interest in the PCT. But back in the day, in my Forest Service days, I did some of the GIS, the beginnings of the GIS, the Geodetic Information System, of when GPS first started being used in the civilian world.
Oh, wow.
In land surveying and stuff like that. And part of our job was to locate all the elevation benchmarks along the Pacific Crest Trail. Okay. And I'm glad I was able to do it back then. In my physical condition I was in back then, I was in pretty good shape. And I got to see some of the PCT back in the 1980s. And it was really amazing. And it was the most beautiful country I've ever seen out of all the places I've been. And I've always wanted to go back there. So I have my aspirations of actually, you know, doing a full through hike on the PCT, starting at, I'll do a northbound. I'll start out at Campo. And then I'll end up at the monument, and what I'll do up here at the terminus, the northern terminus. And then what I'll be right in my backyard, and I can just pretty much just yogi a ride home, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but those are my intentions. But you see, the problem with the problem I'm faced with is another lower back surgery. I've already had one, and I need the second stage, the second stage of that done, in order to get me up to like 80% or 70%, some type of percent besides the 40% I am right now. I can bag peaks, right? I can go on bag peaks, but I'm just not as fast as I used to be. And it's kind of frustrating at times, but I would love to get out there and be with the tribe, you know?
Right.
And do a successful through hike. I would just love it.
That'd be cool. You could maybe pick a point in the middle and through hike southbound one way and northbound the next year or something.
Well, I don't think that I have to be realistic, you know, at my age and in my shape, you know, that maybe a through hike is not possible for me. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a section hiker. You know, that enters my mind. And, you know, if I could section hike it, that would be just as good.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what I'm doing. So, yeah, I've got about 150 more miles of Washington left to do. So, you know, you just chip it away.
Yeah, you bet.
What can other people, like people who might be listening to this, what can they do to help out hikers on the PCT?
It helps to have some knowledge of the PCT. It helps to have some knowledge of what these people are getting resupplies for resupplies, stuff like that. It helps to know, you know, these people are going to be coming in smelling like, you know, like dirt, like dirty, gym socks.
Yeah.
And they're going to want a shower and get cleaned up, you know, and have, you know, and try and shake off some of the trail dirt, you know, and get some real food in their bellies because they haven't had real food in a long time. You know, and they're exhausted, you know, they need a zero, you know, and so trying to have some idea what it's like out on the trail out there and what they're going through will give a person an idea of how to provide those needs for them, you know, and if you can provide those needs for them. If not, you know, it doesn't matter if you can be a complete host like myself. I don't provide a place for them to stay, but I do provide transportation, you know, but I also search out other avenues like the RV park here in town has here in Darrington, which is the cheapest and the best. It's nice and quiet. They have showers. They have a laundry room, everything else, stuff like that. I look for so that I get those hikers all set up with all those needs, you know. If they need a ride to go and have a, need to have a ride to go have a dinner, you know, at a restaurant here in town, or just go to the IGA, to the grocery store, you know, I help them out with that, you know, and get them all going. So you can take that as an example.
You ever take them to the brewery, but, Rivertown Brewery?
We do have a town brewery here that popped up here in Darrington. You know, we don't have a McDonald's yet or a Starbucks, but we do have a brewery.
Yeah, Rivertime. Yeah, it's a good brewery.
A microbrewery, you know. Yeah, that was something different. I haven't taken that. I don't think that was open last summer. I don't believe. I can't recall, but I do know that I think it opened up later after the hikers had gotten through. But I don't partake in drinking. I've done my share. You got to know what a hike. You got to know what a hiker feels like and what a hiker wants when they get out there from an extended trip. In order to do that, you know, put yourself in their shoes and then go from that point. And most hikers are they're appreciative of any help at all. Period. You know, whether it be full service or half service, it doesn't matter. They're really happy to kick their shoes off and get cleaned up and get rested, you know, and take some time off and recharge your batteries and get going again.
Yeah. Last year, I was heading up to go to Cascade Pass, just on a hike, and I had a permit to stay up at the Sahali Arm up there, through the North Cascades, National Park. And it was pouring down rain, absolutely just nasty. And I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to do this. So I thought, well, but I love the mountains, so I'm just going to go check it out. And as I'm, let's see, I was just right about where the park begins, just outside of, right there before New Halem. And I see this guy on the side of the road. I'm like, man, that guy looks like a thru hiker. And this is last July. Or it might have been late June. I can't remember. And I guarantee you that guy's a thru hiker. It's pouring down rain. I'm just like, ah. But he's on the left side of the road. And, you know, and I was like thinking, well, I mean, if he obviously doesn't want help. Otherwise, he'd be on the right side of the road and with his thumb out. So, I kept going. Went all the way up to Rainy Pass. Went to a bunch of trailheads on the way back. And came back, and there he is. And I was like, no way. I'm for sure pulling over. Sure enough, you know, he's from New York, and he's trying to get to the trail, and he knew he was just going to have to walk a lot of road. And so I had to get in. I took him all the way back up to Rainy Pass, and because that was when Hart's Pass is open, but I wasn't able to take him all the way around. So I just dropped him off at Rainy Pass. Says, hey, man, you can just hike from here on the PCT up north. And you know, it's just funny. I mean, I think a lot of people would never have stopped for that guy. But, it's kind of fun to help out every once in a while.
It is. It is. You know, yeah, you know, they have that look. You know, if a hiker has that look, you know, just like you said, you mentioned it right there, you know, they have that PCT look on their face. You know, they've been a long ways. You know, they have that look, you know, you just know that it's a PCT hiker when you go by them, you go, yep. And then you pull over right away as soon as you can get off the road. And, I've done that too. I keep an eye out all the time and offer rides all the time to people that are the hikers on the road, you know, that are yogiing up to the pass up there or coming back the direction, coming back down river here.
Hey, something really easy to do. If you shop at REI, you can click right through my site. It gives a little kickback to me and helps the show out. gets the show a little credit there. You get all the same prices that REI offers, but I get a little kickback. So thanks a lot. We also do the Amazon. If you shop at Amazon and you want to click through the website, same thing. You get all the same deals. Click through. Just go to the show notes. Check that out. Hey, thanks a lot for supporting the show. All right. So if you were to put a sign at a trailhead or on a trail somewhere to talk to hikers, maybe tell them to do something or not to do something, maybe a rule or something, what would your sign say on that trail?
Live the dream.
Yeah.
You know, live the dream. You know, that's the only thing. That's on my Facebook page, you know, on my pictures is live the dream. And, that's it right there. You only get one chance in this life, you know, and, if there was a rule in life, in anybody's life, that would be that right there, just to live the dream.
Yeah, and when you're talking about a hiking sign, you know, that's coming from somebody that, you know, necessarily can't hike as much anymore, too. So that really means a lot.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, that's the only rule in life, really, is to live those dreams out, you know. That's the only rule in life, you know, because if you don't, you're shortchanging yourself.
That's good. All right. Well, not sure if you do a whole lot of hiking reading, but do you have any hiking books or nature books or something that you would recommend to people?
My favorite, I love the bag peaks. I love climbing glacier covered mountains. You know, Rainier, Mount Baker. I recently bagged Glacier Peak here a couple of years ago. Mount Adams. You know, I still have a few others I want to get under my belt. So I go by Fred Beckey's.
Book. Fred Beckey, and, yeah.
And, you know, talk about great mountaineering guides and stuff like that, and trails, not even trails that are even on the map anymore, you know. And those are the kind of books I like to read like that, you know, as far as an actual book that you put in your lap, not online. The stuff online, I would rather hear it to people that have just gone through the experience, you know, just like on the PCT, hiker sites and stuff like that. Those are my favorite stories, you know. When I get online, I love to hear about what their experiences are out there, and especially when they go through areas that I've been through. Because then, you know, I get to bring back the memories of my younger days when I used to be up on the trail. And it's always interesting to hear it from a different person's perspective, or from a different perspective, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's great. There's a couple of PCT books that are pretty good. One of them is Dances with Marmots. That's pretty good. Some good humor in it.
Oh, really? I haven't heard about that. I'll have to look into that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book. It's a guy that hiked the PCT, I believe, from New Zealand or Australia. I can't remember. But okay. If you could choose one person to hike with, who would you choose and why? Maybe they're around. Maybe they're not.
John Muir.
Yeah.
John Muir. You know. Yeah. He was still around. He would be the one I would hike with. The other person I would hike with is my grandfather, who was high mountain fire guard at Hart's Pass back in the 1930s.
Really?
Yep. He was, my grandfather was high mountain fire guard back in the Conservation Corps days in the 1930s before the war. And they saw it. It was back when Hart's Pass, the road, the actual road, it was actually, excuse me, not a road. It was a pack horse trail.
Right.
Up to Hart's Pass. Highway 20 ended. It was a wagon road. Highway 20 from Interstate 5, so let's just say Interstate 5 from there, from down there, it was a wagon road up to the city of Concrete. And from that point on, yeah, you went up you went up and zigzagged across the Skagit River and caught a donkey steam engine powered ferry, cable ferry that went across the Skagit and zigzagged your way on across and up along with the pack mules on your way all the way on up over Rainy Pass and up over Washington Pass back down and then hit the, it was just all pack mule trail back in those days. And, if there were a person I'd like to go hiking with, besides John Muir, it would be my grandfather.
Wow, that's a really neat story. Wow. Well, to kind of get off that, because that's really cool. Do you listen to any hiking podcasts?
I know, podcasts, I'm still into reading. Podcasts, I've only heard about podcasts, and I've always wondered what the heck they were over the last couple of years. I haven't really gotten into them, so.
Well, you're on one.
I know, I'm on one now. But, and it's an honor. I appreciate being interviewed. This is the first time in my life, so I hope I've been a help to somebody in this interview. In some sort or some way. As far as an insight into becoming or being a trail angel or becoming a trail angel. It doesn't matter really, on your hiking experiences or much else like that. It's all about paying it forward. It's all about, giving freely and expecting nothing in return. And my reward for me is when those hikers set foot on tread up there on the PCT, I get to see the smile on their face. I get to see them chase that dream, and it's the best reward I could ever get in my life. And if somebody else would like to do that and help somebody else out like that and help them chase their dreams, and become a trail angel, then hats off to them. I think it's the best job of all jobs, as far as a reward. I have a hard time putting it into words. You'd have to be there, I think, at times in order to actually just understand what it's like. But I think it's been a very rewarding experience for me.
Well, that's perfect. And I do appreciate you coming on the Cascade Hiker podcast.
You're very welcome, thank you very much. It's, like I say, it's been a privilege.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show. Go on back to CascadeHikerPodcast.com and, leave me a comment. Tell me what you thought. That's how I know everything's going good or maybe some things are going bad. But maybe you have some ideas there. And if you have some more questions for any of our guests, leave a comment under their episode and maybe we can get them back on and answer some quick questions there. You can send me an email if you don't want to leave a comment. It's ibighiker@gmail, ibighiker@gmail.
Give my Facebook page a like, North Cascade Hiker. Follow me on Twitter @N_CascadeCapitalHiking. That's @N_CascadeHiking. I try to give you guys multiple ways to get a hold of me. Give me some comments on the show and maybe some ideas for some guests. Thanks again for listening to the show. Here's a little bit more of that Whiskey Fever track, Tall Grass.
See her laying down in the tall grass, playing mandolin in a white dress. So come running when I hear that song. It could never be wrong, it could never be wrong. Where you wanna run, baby, I'll run too. I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could just find